This is second-generation professional wrestler LT Falk, and you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits, and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. Happy first week of January. Isn't it spelt weird? And so is February.
Yeah.
Don't they get those daughters in January?
Yeah, January and February. And then there's... I like remembered how to spell Wednesday when I was a kid.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, exactly.
That's how I did it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, bro, it's like, that's a weird name too, you know? So.
Oh, if somebody types W-E-N-D-S, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know the days of the week are named after Norse gods? Like Thursday is Thor's day. It's pretty crazy. I didn't know that. Yeah. And I don't know why I found that out, but yeah. Yeah.
Random things that we know and look up.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, new year, 2024.
New year, new me.
Nah, same old me. Yeah, there was this post I posted a few years back. It was like, new year, new me, as my clone shoves me into the furnace.
Yeah,
what if we had clones, Wolfie? That would be amazing, right?
Yeah, so, it would be kind of cool, I think. I always wanted a twin.
A twin, huh?
I don't know. Yeah. Dude, not like wanted twins. I wanted to have a twin of me.
Dude, I will say this. I grew up with a couple twins, Joe and Scott Kaiser. And man, they fought like brothers. Like they fought hard. They would choke each other, punch each other. It was crazy. I remember one day in the library at school, like one of them said something and all of a sudden the other one comes up from behind him and these two dudes that look exactly alike are choking the hell out of each other, man. It's crazy. Yeah, but anyway.
I knew twin chicks that would fool boyfriends and stuff, man.
Oh, bro.
Yeah, okay. And not like get sexual with them, but just
sure
enough to fool them, you know.
Throw them off.
Early on. Obviously, if you've been dating a twin for a long time, you definitely... Which twin is yours?
You would hope.
I would think.
Yeah. Man, those identical ones throw me off sometimes, though. I'm like, holy.
Hey, Ron and Don still throw me off. I gotta be around them for a minute before I can really figure it out, you know?
Yeah, they are identical, man.
Yeah, nose is different. The nose is the thing.
A little bit of difference, yeah. Yeah, man.
Oh, and by the way, Jimmy, I know you know, and some of the listeners know, you know, whatever you do, whether it's pray, you send vibes, you send whatever. Thursday, the 11th, I'm going to be getting total hip replacement on the left side, so I'll have I can walk through metal detectors and set them off. I think that's
nice.
Fun. I think that's like going to be the coolest part about this whole deal. But yeah, so getting my hip replaced, and I'm very happy about that. Looking forward to it. So hopefully this pain on the left side here can subside and I can go to another body part and try to get those.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, man, happy about that I'm getting this done. George Weingroff actually called me last week. He had his done in February. So he's prepped me for what to, you know, what's coming and how the recovery is and all that stuff. And real quick, I'll tell you a funny story that he told me. So they've got to obviously dislocate the hip, you know, to get it out and cut it and put the new one in and all that shit.
Yeah.
So he said that, and I can't remember who it was, somebody that had it done years before had told him, like, you go in and they've got this, some kind of wheel. And the way I kind of understood and comprehended what he was saying, I'm almost thinking like some kind of pulley system that they turn and, you know, pops it out.
Right.
And so George said that he's going in and, you know, he's not under yet. And he goes in there and he don't see this wheel that he's been told about that he's looking for. Okay. He said, but did see this big black guy wearing scrubs. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, this big black guy wearing scrubs. And for a shoot, turns out that that's this guy's job, man, is to pull your hip out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Swear, man. Swear.
Wow.
And, I guess he talked to him, I guess, a few minutes before he went under, or maybe this was after. I can't remember what he said, but the guy said, something about it. It's called controlled violence. And then, you know, so I thought that was hilarious. He's like, I didn't see no wheel, but I saw this big black guy wearing scrubs. So that brother's job is just to yank hips out. So.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sure you'll see him, and maybe we'll have to get that guy on the podcast.
Well, we won't be at the same hospital.
Right, of course, but you'll have your own very big black guy in the corner. God, that might be a new gimmick for somebody actually in wrestling. Who could do that? Seriously, yeah. Think about it. We're the controlled violence of operations. I love that. Oh,
I mean,
God.
You think that, man, operations, man, they jerk you around and shit. You're out. And they just jerk you around. You can't feel nothing.
You right. Know what I mean? And okay, you know, you wake up feeling sore in places you're not. You're like, but why right. do I feel exactly. like I've just been beat to death, man?
Yeah,
you know,
you probably were.
Yeah, exactly. You're just laying there. Yeah. Oh my
God. But anyway, man. I just wanted to put that out there real quick, man. Hopefully things go well, and I'll be in and out that day. So
yeah,
we'll talk about it more next week.
Sounds great. And we'll be definitely praying for you, brother. Absolutely. So, we'll see how everything goes after that. But for sure, man, definitely, if you got a prayer, throw it up there for the Wolf Man. And I know you'll be fine coming through this, but pretty sure pretty soon we'll have a totally brand new Wolfie D. So maybe, you know.
Awesome.
All right.
Hey, there's my clone.
Yeah, there's your clone. It's just right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we do my brain next, Doc?
Yeah, for real. But anyway, man, we got off on a wild one there. And this is going to be a wild one. If you don't know LT Falk, listeners, this ought to be something else.
Yeah, you're going to learn something new today. And I'm telling you, the son of Tony Falk fills the shoes of the Falk family perfectly. Let's just say that. LT's a good dude. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Known him since he was a little bitty kid, man. So this ought to be a fun one, man.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah, me too, man. Well, let's stop running our mouths and let's get him on the phone.
We'll be right back with LT Falk, Mr. 110%, after these messages.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we're back. And again, man, I feel like I say this over and over. But we do got some good guests. I mean, we've been very blessed with the people that have
blessed with the guest. Yes.
Blessed with the guests. Yes. And, you know, just people that are willing to come on here and talk to us and have a good time. We really appreciate it. And this one, this is a first for me on here to have somebody. I swear to God, I met this kid when he was probably
2-3, something like that.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure LT L. Falk here was born in 1988. I got into the business at the end of 89, started wrestling in like 90, excuse me. And so I met LT and his daddy when LT was just a little bitty thing, knee high to a grasshopper, as I say. What's going on, LT? How you doing, buddy?
I hope you guys are doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
definitely. We've been working on getting you on here. You know, they're beating down the door trying to get on this show. So, you know, I mean, we work you in when we can, kid. No, yeah, I'm kidding, buddy. But yeah, for real, I don't. Do you remember that? I mean, I guarantee you don't remember like when I first met you. But do you remember being a little kid and knowing me?
Of course, man. I've told you the story a few times. Not sure if you remember, but man, I loved your Wolfie. You know, when I was a young kid, trust me, dude, I had my little gimmicked up shorts, my little hubcap, sunglasses, running around the house being silly. I even had some blue jeans I cut up for the Moon Dogs. Went to the dollar store, got me a damn bone. You know, I mean, yeah. I love wrestling. It was my life, man. And another funny story. I mean, it's just so damn random, but I think about it from time to time. I forget where we were, but I was able to attend a few shows with my dad and my mom, and I got to make a trip with them, and we stayed at the hotel. And during the day, I forget the location, but man, I went to the vending machine and got some M&Ms and some Skittles, and you and BC, O'Brien Christopher, was out there by the vending machine, and I took off running, and I fell, and I scraped my damn arm, you know, busted up my elbow, and I went back, and my mom had some of that, it was like that, you know, first aid spray.
Bactine,
remember that?
Yeah.
And she was like, come here, son, let me spray this on you and clean up your elbow, and I was like, no, it burns. It burns. I don't want to do it. And you said something like, oh, man, if I do it, you could do it. You know, I don't know if you remember this, Wolf, but you put your arm out and you let my mom spray the gimmick on you, right? And then BC, Brian, put his arm out. And when my mom went to spray him, oh, no, oh, it's burning. He started selling the hell out of it, you know? So I just thought that was so cool, man. You're like, what a gimmick. You know, you LT, if I could do it, you could do it. And then when it was BC's turn, he totally, you know, ripped my mom. And man, I have all kinds of memories, dude.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, when you had my dad on there, we always put Tony Falk over about, you know, dates and times and memories. But, you know, just catching up with them and, man, I used to be good at stuff like that too, but now, you know, I've had a few concussions. I'm dealing with a few things, but I'm still blessed for some of the memories I have and things I can remember and talk about. Everybody has a story to tell, you know?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
man, that's funny though. It's just I remember you as I can just see your little face, man. And it's just funny to think that, you know, now you're grown up and you know, got your own kids and things like that, man. It's fun. And then, like I said, your daddy's always been good to me, and I traveled with him, and I knew you as a kid and all that stuff. So it's kind of cool, man, to see where everybody's been and, you know, just life. And you get to be Wolfie's age here, you start really thinking about stuff like that, man, you know?
That's it. Oh, yeah, man. Just waking up in the morning is a blessing itself, you know? And my father thinks a lot of you both. I think a lot of both of you. And I can't say how happy I am to be on here, man, and especially with you two, you know?
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Means the world. Yeah. I mean, we're big fans of Big T. We talk about him all the time on any of my shows and this show all the time. And anytime we can relate a Tony Falk story to something, we're going to do it, man. So, you know, that's how.
I'm just so happy to, you know, be a second generation wrestler and my dad being who he is. And, you know, to hear my dad talk at times, he's like, oh, I'm a nobody. I'm a Jabroni.
Right.
But man, all them years and all the guys he's helped, and you know, to some people it means nothing, but to me it's bragging rights when guys like Austin and Shawn Michaels, and they do podcasts and autobiographies, they're not obligated to do this, but when they mention my dad's name and they put him over, that is bragging rights, man, you know?
Yeah. Let me say this real quick. Yeah. So when, you know, the podcast of Stone Cold started up early, I remember he was talking about, you know, Tony on there, and I sent him an email just never thinking that he would reply. And he said, you know what's so funny, Mr. Austin, is I'm actually working for the Falks right now at USWO, and Tony's great. I just sit under the learning tree every time I hear him. He was like, yeah, kid, tell Tony I said, hey. That's what he replied with. I was like, holy crap. Yeah.
and I've never been, you know, too caught up in the podcast, but there's been times where, you know, different people will mention my dad's name, and some of our friends, fans, and trainees would like send me a link, you know, and I would check it out, and I'm just so appreciative. Some of the guys have had good things to say about my dad, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Now,
absolutely.
Austin, man. So one thing about me, this is funny. you know, my mother was a worker. That's how my parents met. My 19, well, you know, my dad got in the business in 73, and then about 82 and yeah, about 82, 83, my mother got in the business, and in Memphis is how they met. You know, when I think about my beginning, I have to quote a guy named Impressive Anthony Wayne. Jimmy, you know him?
Of course.
He's a character, man. He's based out of Middle Tennessee, but he's from Oklahoma. And Tom Jones, Mr. Ebony, broke him in the business. And one time, Anthony said this about me. He said, LT's mother was a wrestler. LT's father was a wrestler. LT has known professional wrestling since the sperm has met the egg. What a hell of a thing to say, but look, it's so damn true. Right. You know? Hell of a thing to say, but that's it, man. Two parents in this damn business, they met and they fell for each other, and then, you know, they had me. So I was born into this business, man.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny, and I'm not knocking you all. We do bring this up every once in a while about how you and Tony have this ability to talk in promo, man. And I'm not knocking you. I promise you, this is a real appreciation. Oh, yeah. And I was just reading something before we brought you on. I was thinking, you know, so I Googled, how do kids learn to talk, right? Okay. And so babies learn by experiencing and listening to the world around them. So the more language they are exposed to, the better. Well, anyway, the point being of that is those first few words I said there. You said it, and you kind of led into it. Your mom and dad were in the business, and then that's what you're learning how to talk. And again, so anyway, I think it's just the best whenever you guys are so good at promos. You know what I'm saying? It makes sense. So.
And it's the hand gestures. The hand gestures.
I was going to say, Wolfie's always been on me about that. Yeah. The folks love to talk indeed. But also, we kind of, you know, salesmen, carnies, you know, we talk with our hands. And Wolfie used to always say, damn it, I love LT. But man, if you try to, you know, tie his hands up or handcuff them, he wouldn't be able to conversate with you. You know?
That's funny, because I was actually just fixing to say that. I was going to tell Jimmy, if you handcuff his hands behind his back, he wouldn't be able to say a fucking word.
It's a gimmick, man, but I'm telling you, it's a lot of folks, they've always said, man, this damn kid is stuck in promo mode, you know? He's always talking and playing with his voice, but it's interesting, it's different.
It is. It's always been
something, you know?
Let me ask you this, because, I mean, I've had similar situations, man, but I got to know, like, you've had some shoot jobs or whatever. And when you do that to them, and it's second nature to you, you probably don't even realize you're doing it half the time. What is their reaction to that? Because I know, you know, like, you know, you call them normal people or whatever, but, you know, we do speak and do things a little bit different than everybody else from all the years in the business. But, you know, and they do. I don't care what they say. They treat you different. They look at you differently. But so, yeah, how do people respond to you, like, in the normal world when you're doing that shit?
Okay, so you know, customers and co-workers in the past, a lot of them have, you know, found it pretty entertaining. You know, they're popping for it, you know? I've been to too many damn doctor visits here lately over the last year or two. I'm falling apart. And some of these doctors are thinking, does this kid have like ADHD or something going on with him? man, I've made a few mistakes in the past. I've actually been, you know, You know, I've even talked to a law enforcement and been in promo mode, and you know,
that's amazing.
Can you picture me talking and cutting promos, talking to the kids ops? You know, it's just, brother, it is what it is, man.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just curious, man, because, like, you know, we had Kevin Lawler on. And we talked about how his younger days of being around Memphis and that whole bunch of pirates out there. But talk about your younger days as a kid, especially like with your dad on the road. And then like maybe some of the wild and crazy wrestlers that came through your life as a young man.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, first of all, I was almost born over there in PR. My mother was pregnant with me. And they lived in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Yeah, man. And Phil LaFon, Ron Starr, they all talked to my parents about going to Canada, you know, free health care, and wanted to leave PR and go to Canada. And I could have been born in PR, or I came close to being born in Canada. But after the whole Brody gimmick, and, you know, my dad was there that night, and my mom was just so frustrated with some of the things taking place down there. She's like, get me the hell off of this island. You know?
Yeah.
Before it was too late in the pregnancy, they moved back to the States, and I was born in New Albany, Mississippi. We always talk about our beloved friend, Marvelous Mitch Ryder. New Albany, Indiana. Well, I'm from New Albany, Mississippi, you know, but just in no time, straight to Dallas, man. Straight to Dallas, man. Eric Embry and all of them, my dad, you know, he was always a journeyman, you know, different territories and different places. So the first show I attended, you know, they tell me I was just like, you know, some of this I don't remember, but, you know, I was, you know, just a newborn, I guess, Dallas Sportatorium.
And then, man,
you know, grew up in Dallas, Texas, the first few years of my life. And some of those memories I have, we have a few photos and videos. I just wish, you know, I hear all these stories, like, you know, you talked about Austin earlier. My dad tells me all these stories about, you know, me sitting in his lap, shadow boxing with him, and, you know, running around the back, you know, and him playing with me. I'm like, man, why don't we have any damn photos of stuff like that? You know?
Right.
And, hell, even in Nashville, many years later, the old world-class gym, you know, I guess WWF came to town. The boys used to go work out there, and they didn't have no damn daycare, no babysitting service, but I was lucky enough that, Donna,
yeah, I was just fixing to say, what was her name?
Yeah, Donna, you remember her? And,
yeah.
And
her husband. I don't remember her husband's name.
Andy, and then they had a guy that worked there named Chip. Not Kip, it was Chip. So they was cool, man. They used to let a young LT Fall come hang out in the lobby, play with my action figures. And I remember one time the WWF was in town, and I saw Austin, and man, he walks me through the gym, and he picked me up, and he was holding me doing, like, pull-ups, right? So one, two, he's lifting me up, and I'm doing pull-ups in the mirror. Steve Austin's holding me, and then I'm holding on, and he walks off, leaves me hanging, man. I'm hanging on for dear life, kicking my legs and screaming, and he walked off and left me, you know? All kinds of, you know, little ribs and gimmicks, man. But the Sportatorium, I got some photos of me and a few of the guys, and photos of me at ringside and the gimmick tables, man.
It was crazy. That's awesome.
In Dallas, man.
Dude, that's amazing.
Metroplex.
Yeah.
TW, you know, Texas Wrestling Federation. Uncle Gary Hart was working. And, I'm getting a few years of age, and I'm talking and running around, and more stories about, you know, this guy giving me a mask, this guy shadow boxing and playing with me, you know, all the stories about, you know, me talking to Gary Hart. Supposedly they shot some video one time, and he had his neck popped, you know, and he got up and said, "What a rush." You know?
Yes. I've seen that commercial. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I used to look up at him and say, "What a rush."
What a rush. My name is Gary Hart, and when I get out of line, I always go to the chiropractic clinic of Dr. Kevin Witt, right here in Euless. But matter of fact, anyone throughout the Mid-Cities or the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if you're out of line, Dr. Kevin Witt can get you back in. He's your man.
you know, and Louis Piccoli, you know, he was so cool to me, and Abdullah, Al Farouk, you know, Kim Renesto, how we love the Renestos, right? Yeah. Cam Talltree, and then his brother Tom Jr., John was there refereeing, and it was some, you know, short-lived, but some cool stuff, man, and I'm glad, you know, I was just a young kid, but being able to run around and meet some of those guys, I just wish there was more videos and pictures, but the whole, oh, don't be a mark, you know, my dad would never, you know, take photos or do stuff like that, but
it was different
down the line. Yeah,
you get browbeat for that, man.
That's right. That's totally understandable.
I'm glad it's different now.
Of course, memories, documentaries, just footage. It is good to have that. So I believe snap away, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah,
for sure. There's so many times and people that I've been around. It's like, man, I wish I would have had some pictures from that, you know?
That's it, man. So speaking of Dallas and the Sportatorium and the Metroplex, what about the Iron Claw movie, you know?
Man, I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard good and bad, but I definitely want to see it for myself. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'll check it out, too. I probably won't go to the movies to see it, but I'll wait on it to come out and check it out.
My dad, you know, enjoyed it, but he was so upset how they left out Chris.
Yeah, it's messed up, man. Yeah.
And some folks know this, some folks don't, but, you know, my father had a big hand in working out and training with Chris Von Erich.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, man. My dad had two sets of keys for the Sportatorium. He used to go there and he worked out with Chris Von Erich, you know, many times. Mm-hmm. I think he worked them like two, you know, Chris only had a few matches, but around two or three of them was with my dad.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was talking to him about it just the other night because I know the story. There was a Chris Adams spot show in Oklahoma. One of the matches was, you know, Cowboy Tony Falk versus Chris Von Erich. And my dad went out there and bumped his ass off for little Chris. But then he got back and one of the guys in charge kind of had a promo for my dad saying, you did way too much. You know, that guy is quite small, Tony. Done a little too much for him. But that was just my dad trying to have fun and make the kid, you know, look good.
Yeah, of course. But,
yeah, man. So, yeah, I was just wondering if you guys saw that, but neither one.
I want to. I plan on it. Our buddy Cassidy Riley's in it for just a second or two there, which is really cool. Yeah. Very happy to see that for him. And yeah, I mean, I was hoping maybe, you know, LT could play Tony in the movie. You know, that would have been.
I have one photo. I was going through some old photos last night, man. And so you know, after the whole suicide thing with Chris, you know, my dad was hurt. He was so upset with that, man. Yeah. Supposedly just a few nights before he did it at a show, my mom was sitting next to him, talking to him. And then my mom always told me the story. I was just sitting right there next to him, talking to him. And a few days later, this happened. And my dad didn't go. He did not attend the funeral. But I know before we moved to Nashville, we did go by the grave site. And there's a photo of my dad and I right there at Chris Von Erich's the grave site. Man. But, I mean, that movie was something else, dude.
I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Talking about growing up in the business. So we moved to Nashville in 91, and that's when Tony Falk went to work for, went back to Memphis and became Chauffeur Tony.
Yeah.
Eric Emery, right? So, you know, the schedule, the loop.
Yeah.
My dad was just thankful and blessed to have a job, traveling, trying to put, you know, food on the table for his family. But, man, you know, I was just a kid. There for a short time, I did have to go to Paducah to, you know, stay with my grandmother when my dad was, you know, traveling, doing his stuff. And then came back in 92, and sure enough, all the boys have stories about this infamous historic place. Well, I do as well. A young LT living at the Congress Inn.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it, man. 92, right there in Nashville on the wrong side of town, Congress Inn. Tony, my mom, Candy, a little young punk kid, LT, Eric Ambry, Miss Texas, Bart Sawyer, Brick House, Ingrid, you know, Jeff Daniels, Brick Dominique.
Brick House was,
yeah.
Was there.
A lot of photos of LT in that damn dirty swimming pool at the Congressman. had one of my birthday parties in the lobby in the hotel lobby at Congressman.
You are definitely in the business if you have a birthday party at the Congressman. You're definitely.
That is it. Yeah. That's how you know.
It don't get no more old school than that.
Yeah.
And then you know, moved to Madison, just a few minutes down the street, and that's where, you know, I was getting a few years older. That's where I had my gimmicked up Wolfie D shorts and hubcap and moon dog pants and wrestling figures galore. I was so damn spoiled, man. I had all the damn figures and video games, and it was something else. And then sure enough, man, I was lucky enough to do a little bit of traveling. I mean, think about it, you know, like they always say, keep your wives and girlfriends away, keep your children away. Keep your children away. But I was blessed to attend a few shows. Even got to kind of go in and out of the back. That's another no-no, but somehow I got to run around the locker rooms or get to the building early and play in the ring.
Times was changing. Yeah. You know,
I have a lot of some home video footage from, it was like, I want to say 94, Little Man, Jerry Jarrett, the Mansion on the Hill. They had that wrestling ring out there by the barn.
Yeah.
That's when my dad was treating that former football player, Colin Scott.
Yeah.
Remember him, Wolfie?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Australian football player, had like a developmental deal.
Right.
My dad was working with him, and big Jim Dotson. Jim Dotson, he ended up becoming what? Head of security for WWF.
Right. He was on TV as many as any of them.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Timmy and Colin and a young LT with his little rat tail and his cowboy boots, you know, being able to sit there and watch and listen and learn, and my dad's helping share knowledge and train guys. Jarrett's there with his little spit cup. I got to get in the ring and make a few home videos of taking bumps and beating up on my dad, you know? So that's cool to, you know, 94, Jarrett's mansion in the ring playing, you know? It's good to have stuff like
that's
that.
That's surreal, man. Yeah.
And then right after your dad stopped doing it, is when I took over up there, and they moved it. It was at the fairgrounds, but then every now and then it'd be up there at the mansion out under that big ass tree.
That's it. And then, you know, just being a kid and being able to, you know, tag along the, you know, I would say, you know, like some outlaw shows, you know? Like Memphis was cool because, you know, I've been to Mid-South Coliseum, Memphis TV a time or two. The fairgrounds and Springfield, you know, some of those loops. And then going to some of these outlaw shows like the Mullins in Shelbyville. I know that means a lot to you, Wolf.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Freddie Morton's Columbia. What about Terry Rice and Power Slam, you know?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Some of these little outlaws around, you know, the Middle Tennessee area, the Hackneys, New South, Southern All-Star. My dad's Paducah, Kentucky. You know, he ran wrestling for many years right there at the National Guard Armory, 1800 Clark Street, Paducah, Kentucky. You know, his hometown. And, man, I used to get, I was just a young kid, and, you know,
I wish, Kentucky. Does anybody got a camera on you right now?
No.
I swear I can see him walking around. He's going crazy right now.
But man, a young kid climbing in the ring, taking bumps and letting guys like, you know, Joe Hopkins, you know, Gator McAllister give me suplexes and, you know, climbing the ropes. I was just a kid, brother. I was, you know, under the age of 10, and I'm in there, you know, taking bumps and doing shoulder rolls.
Yeah. So it's not too long after that when USWO gets going, right?
That's it. So check this out, Wolfie. I was, you know, talking to, you know, just being a young kid, and like I said, going to some of these shows and, you know, being able to go in and out of the back, like seeing Mama D, Big Pete, Scorpion, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Other people that means a lot to you that I was, you know, scared of. I'm a kid, and there's some scary hood gimmicks, you know, like Medic, Rick Reynolds, and Tommy Hickey, and Dante, you know.
Yes.
I'm in and out of the back in these damn hood gimmicks, but that, everybody treated me nice. They were so cool to me, man, and just growing up around the business, you know, really helped me out. But because all I wanted to do was you know, become a wrestler and follow in my parents' footsteps, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know about me having that near-death experience in 99?
Yeah, you fell out of a tree or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, brother. Hit a damn baseball, you know, into like a, you know, into a backyard. And I had on some high-dollar sneakers, some Air Jordans, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. My mom used to work, you know, hard. She used to go above and beyond to keep her kid looking fresh, you know? So yeah, I had some J's on my feet. My damn baseball's over there like a little creek. I didn't want to get my shoes dirty. So I'm climbing a tree, man. I'm just, you know, 10, 11 years of age, and I'm climbing a tree and trying to cross over the creek to get my damn baseball. And sure enough, the branch broke. The branch broke, and it was 13 to 15 feet head first fall. You know, landed on the boat. Dude, this, you know, I wish there was pictures and videos of this, me in the hospital. I don't remember any of the incident. You know, they say with head trauma, you usually don't remember, you know,
right,
the accident.
Right.
But man, I landed on my head, and I fractured my skull in three places. I shattered my right jawbone. There were so many fractures and cracks they couldn't count.
Man.
And, you know, my eye was busted up. Not too many people know this, but my right ear was damn near ripped off. You know, had staples all in my head. That's why I've always kind of kept my hair kind of long, you know, because I have a pretty nice scar. And then the main thing was brain hemorrhaging. I had bleeding of the brain, and
yeah.
And, you know, my parents, you know, it was divorced at the time. So my mom quit the business in 96. Parents got divorced in 98. My sister Kayla and I lived with my mom. My dad had joint custody, but I was still, you know, visiting him a few days a week and being able to do some, you know, traveling with him, you know. But anyway, my parents were divorced, but they got together and made the trip. And I was at my grandparents' house in Southgate, Kentucky.
But hey, and, you know, slow down just a second. Slow down. Let's go back to to the fall. I don't want to just skip over that. That's pretty traumatic, because I do remember it. And I remember, you know, your father, I believe it was your dad who was telling me about it, and or the first time I talked to him about it. And I believe that I remember seeing you after some time there. And I remember you having a big scar on your, it's on the side of your head.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah. I remember the way.
I was in ICU for a little while, man. Cincinnati, Ohio Children's Hospital. They didn't know, man, if I'm blessed, man. They didn't know if I was going to make it or if I was going to be, you know, like mentally challenged, you know, and head trauma. But brother, I ended up being okay. I didn't have to have, you know, especially when they tell my mom that she couldn't even kiss my cheek because there were so many fractures they couldn't count. But no plate in my jaw, no surgery. Everything was kind of in place. I just had to take it easy for a while, and, you know, had to, you know, do like a special school transfer. I was homeschooled for a while, and then I had to do a special transfer to be close to my mom, and multiple doctor's appointments and imaging. And they told me I couldn't play football. And when they say no football, even though I'm just a kid, all I'm thinking about is what about a future in professional wrestling?
Right.
So man, there for a minute, you know, I was just a kid, but still, man, you know, you have hopes and dreams and wondering about, you know, and they've learned so much since then about head trauma and, you know, and I have headaches every now and then, and all they could tell me is they think it's like residual side effects from the head trauma I had back in 99.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
Crazy stuff, man, the human body and brain.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com, that's B-U-I-E, homes.com, or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Has it ever been a thing where, just say a chair shot or anything, and I don't recall this, and that's the reason I'm asking, have you ever like said, no, I don't do that? Or did you just be like, fuck it, it's what we do? I mean,
maybe a time or two I've kind of, you know, should we do this, or is there a way to kind of get around it if it's anything like too crazy with some of these crazy bumps, guys going on top of their heads, you know, or chair shots?
Bro, I mean, I've been working just something like 20 as simple years. As a chair shot to the head. I'm thinking if I would have been you, and then, you know, knowing what happened to me as a child, then I get in the wrestling business, I'd be like, look, I'll do whatever you want. Just don't fucking hit me in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, communication is everything. I've said a few things, but this is a true story. I've had 8 concussions, man.
Mm-hmm.
Eight concussions in 20 years of wrestling. Last year, dude, I was messed up, man. You know, like brain fog, headaches, a number of things, followed up with a neurologist. And, you know, they had me doing like SLP classes, talking about Alzheimer's, dementia, CTE. It's good to learn and get educated on that stuff. But shit, man, it turned me into a hypochondriac, you know?
And that's scary, dude.
Yeah, bro. But you never know, man. You know, it is abuse to the body, and some of the stuff I've dealt with my head. But man, I you know, back to, you know, like 99, and there for a minute, you know, I mean, I was kind of, you know, a few years later, I don't know why, but I stopped attending a few shows. Stopped attending a few shows and just kind of got caught up in basketball and just, you know, different things, you know. You know, man, all my wrestling figures, brother, I gave my stuff away. I didn't sell. I didn't trade. I just gave my stuff away, man. And now looking back, thinking about some of the toys I had and some of those things, what they're worth now. Damn, you know, could have had some money and made some, but I just gave my stuff away, man, and stopped attending shows, and it was different. And then, Baron Fox, David Martin, you know, and my dad, they started doing Springfield, Tennessee at the center. USWO, you know, that's where it started. You talked about USWO and you know, 2001, you know, that's where it was, man. A guy named Ronnie Brown, Mike Porter, my dad. And you know, when it comes time to start promoting and you know, papering the town, Baron and my dad said, well, look at little innocent LT, you know, they wanted me to come out of my shell and talk to people. You know, I had a bad speech problem too, my childhood, man. I had chronic ear infections and my speech was messed up, you know, I'm damn near deaf, you know, but a lot of speech therapy throughout the year. So my dad said, one, this will help LT, you know, talk and interact with people and learn the business at a young age, you know, when it comes to promote, you know, like advertisement. And also, it's a lot harder for somebody to say no to a kid than, you know.
Right, yeah, right. But,
so then they used to drive around Springfield and Adams and Greenbrier and Jolton and send my little ass in there to tell them about the big wrestling event coming to the beautiful center downtown Springfield. And I used to hang up the posters, man, you know, at a young age, man. And then 2001, I started, you know, selling programs and helping out more at the gimmick tables, you know. And that right there is kind of, you know,
That was a learning experience for me. That's, you know, being able to go to the back and maybe hang out in the back and listen to psychology and finishes, you know, and Tracy Smothers. That was his hometown, you know, Springfield, Tennessee, you know, and Chris Michaels and all those guys. Erun Hatchett, I guess
that's
popped up. Yeah, 2002, 2003, he started working for my dad. And, you know, I've always heard stories about Hurricane Hatchett and the beautiful drop kick and how the Jarretts loved him, you know? So he's one I kind of kept my eyes on, you know?
Yeah.
And sure enough, man, just, you know, helping out. And then, you know, Madison, I was playing the music and, you know, helping paper the town. And right there, you know, at the young age of only 14, some guys, they had negative things to say about it, but 14 years of age, right there in Madison, 110 Harris Street, you know, I had my first ever match against Erun Hatchett, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
Man, another thing about being a kid and being able to kind of go, you know, it was Tennessee Fairgrounds, the Asylum, TNA, the pay-per-views. My dad used to, you know, he used to do what, the gorilla position with Bill Behrens? So he used to pick me up. As soon as I got out of school, he'll pick me up and take me to the fairgrounds, and I'll be in there before the doors opened. And, man, just all the guys I got to meet and watch and listen to, you know.
Yeah.
I was a big mark for the, you know, Lucha and the X Division, you know.
Yeah.
So being able to see, you know, Christopher Daniels, Jerry Lynn, AJ Styles, and all them go over spots, you know, and I used to, you know, always be sure to run over there and kind of introduce myself and talk to people, you know, probably gave a few of them some headaches, but everybody was nice to me, you know, and, Disciples of the New Church, man, TNA, man. And, I remember, talking to, Kid Cash and Scott D'Amore one time, and I was getting ready to go into my first match, and Sabu walked up to me and he was like, "Well, I hope it goes good. Good luck to you." But he was like, "You know, the sooner you get in, you're going to get burnt out. The sooner you're going to want to get out of this business, you know?" And I will never forget, you know, here, you know, Sabu telling me that, you know, the sooner you get in, the sooner you're going to want to get out.
Is it true?
I'm so blessed to,
is it true?
Man, I was having fun. I was having fun, dude.
Yeah, I don't think that was a factor either. I mean, I was
still
15.
Love the business. But, you know, 14 years of age and the thing was, man, it takes a village to raise a child. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to training, dude, there's so many guys that helped me out. You know, my whole childhood, my dad's like locking up with me, doing chain wrestling, teaching me terminology and stuff. Right.
Right.
And then
right.
The proper school we had at the venue, my dad's building, was a guy named John Caesar, you know, from Kentucky.
Yeah.
He was a good head. Y'all remember him a little bit?
Yeah.
Maybe? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, man. So, and he used to always, you know, go up to Heartland and do different seminars with Steamboat and Harley Race.
What? Lawyers, Caesar.
Sure about that.
I think I'm thinking of the right dude, but maybe not.
Yeah, him and Larry Valentine did a little tag stint. Heartbreakers. I mean, good guy. He was a shoot amateur wrestler, and then, you know, been in the business. He was a good hand, but he helped me out with so much. And then Dustin Phillips, Slacker J.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, Kid Cash, you know, he was running the school in my dad's building. So it's my dad's ring, my dad's building. I'm able to kind of jump in the classes, registering and selling and helping me out. Man, there's so many people, Mark Anthony, Tracy Smother, so many guys helped me out with, you know, training. And then finally, I got to, you never stop learning in this business, right?
Yeah, right.
Never stop learning. But having my first match right there in 2003, August 29th, is Erun Hatchett, also known as Norray Havoc.
Yeah. Erun's great.
And then I did a few months right there in Madison and on Friday nights. And I used to go down to Columbia, Tennessee on Saturdays and do a few shots.
Right.
And then check this out. I was working out before the doors opened. I'm not sure why, but I did like a little plancha, like a little dive over the top to the floor.
Yeah.
I landed on my feet and snapped my damn ankle, man. Nothing major, just kind of sprung my ankle, you know, but instantly I got, you know, black and blue, bruising and swelling, and, you know, I just sprung my ankle. Stuff happens.
Right.
But the guy that ran the building You know, Tennessee has no athletic commission. You could be any age to be even though it's like a man's business, you know, you should be of age. I was a young punk kid. It's my dad's promotion. I would never do anything, but being a minor, the guy was like, man, I don't know if this is the best deal, you know, the future lawsuits and things. So the guy put the block on my dad using anybody under the age of 18. Mm. So after I got my feet wet, been working for a few months, messed up my ankle. I had to take a few weeks off, but then I'm told I can no longer work for my own family promotion in this building here in Madison, right? Mm.
Because he's out there doing planches before the doors open.
And then, man. But then you learned that lesson. Have some things going. You know, Madison was going there for a minute, man. You have Porter running down the street, Bert Prentice at the Stadium Inn, and then my dad right there in Madison. But we had Slash. We had, making stars and having guys like Beautiful Bobby and Kid Cash and Ricky come in. And I think we had a nice little show every Friday night right there in Madison. That's the time I wanted to be in the back, sharing the locker room with you guys and working and, you know, trying to have my little spotlight at a young age. But, man, I went back to just playing music on Friday nights and spent my Saturdays going to Columbia. And then it was a place called SWA, Tim Sprugs, in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Okay.
You know, it was a little stepping stone. I went there for about a year and a half, 2 years, never got paid a dime. Talking about paying dues, right?
Right.
Never got a damn payoff from this promotion.
Did you say Mike Porter? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
He comes down the line. But Tim Sprugs, man, it was stepping stone. Never got paid a dime, but hey, man, I was ahead of the game. Spend money to make money, speculate to accumulate. I had gimmicks, man. I had 8x10, 4x6 photos. I was loving it, making a few bucks, right? And being able to get some ring time. And then down the line, you know, here comes the Stadium Inn, the infamous Stadium Inn.
Yeah.
Right?
Boom. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I know Wolfie pops when I talk about like 10 Interstate Drive in the corner of James Robinson Parkway, 48 off I-24, you know?
Yeah.
Just a, you know, young punk kid in 2005, you know, beginning to, you know, work. And I'm just so blessed to have been in there with some of the guys, you know, I've had matches with and got to learn from, you know?
Yeah.
Super blessed, man. Chris Michaels, Jeff Daniels, Baron Fox, Tim Renesto, Wolfie. Man, I got to work with you, got to team up with you there. Not to sound like a Mizark, but, you know, you've been one of my childhood favorites. And then you and I are teaming up there. And they put the tag team titles on us, right?
Nice.
There's not such thing as really sounding, I don't think, like a mark unless you've, you know, absolutely never been in the business or whatever. You've been in the business, and all that's called is just respect, bro. I mean, I guess you could call me a mark for certain people that you know, were you know, in it before I was and things like that. And highlights from my career are being with some of those people that I, you know, got to meet after the fact, you know. So
yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you could say that, really, you know.
And then just being able to, you know, take trips with guys and share locker rooms with them and get to know them on a personal level. But man, that Stadium Inn, man, Yvonne Hatchett, Farron Fox, Matt Dillinger, Mitch Ryder, I could go on and on. Hot Rod Biggs, Tommy Higgy, all the guys I got to work with that's been around and popping and making me look good, you know, helping teach me. And and then there's a few young guys that are doing pretty good for themselves, like WWE's Ricochet.
Yeah, Chuck Taylor. Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, I got to work with those guys, you know, and everybody's doing well for themselves now. So Stadium Inn is, you know, positives and negatives about that place, but a lot of, you know, a lot of memories for Stadium Inn. And one of my best memories is, you know, when Joseph Hudson, also known as Josephus, that's where he came into our lives.
I was fixing to go to our boy Josephus, God bless him, man. I miss him, man. I do. I actually just thought of him the other day, and it's not that it happens, you know, occasionally that I'll just go, damn, man, I wish I could call Josephus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Because he was one that he's just one that I, you know, one of those people that I could call and just say what's up to. And I don't have a lot of people from the wrestling business that I do that with, but he was one of them. And I could just, you know, hey, what's up, man?
Of course, man. You know, I think about him every day. My 13-year-old daughter, her screensaver on her cell phone. It's like a collage, and mm-hmm. there's pictures of her and, you know, her great grandmother. There's pictures of her and Josephus on that, man.
That's awesome.
That's my daughter. He meant so much to the Falk family, and I know he thought a lot of us. He thought a lot of you. Hell, Wolfie, if I'm correct, I think I'm the one that introduced you and Joe, right?
That's awesome.
I think so. Yeah. I just remember going to Memphis. Yeah. Cause it was probably at the stadium, and actually like it was on a, during the day when there wasn't a show or something like that, maybe.
Well, it was stadium in time, but I remember it like it was yesterday, man. You and I was booked for Chris Kern, a little show in Fayetteville, you know, Fayetteville. Yeah. And before Joe ever started training, dude, training, he drove you and I, him and that girl, Cheryl, the first girl he was with. I don't know if you remember her, but drove you and I to Fayetteville for Chris Kern. And and Joe was just a cameraman, you know, and helping out. But, you know, the hair, he was beginning to kind of grow the beard and just, structure, you know, his, you know, he was a big boy, right? And I remember everybody looking, saying, who is he? What is he? Where is he from? You know, getting ready to kind of do some training, but they thought he was somebody then, you know?
And, oh, yeah, totally.
And Wolfie, I know you've been through a lot, man, and all the people you meet and things you do, man, but, you know, you, Josephus, and I, man, taking trips to Evansville, Indiana, and and just earlier, you know, today, I was thinking one time you and I and Josephus, we went to Lewisburg, Tennessee, and we broke down on the way home, and his girl Cheryl had to come get us.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you just... Yeah, we broke down coming back, and she went and got us.
That's awesome.
Speaking of Lewisburg, I had to put this in there. So many guys I got to work with as a kid, but 2007, Lewisburg, Tennessee, my first time ever working as a heel, I was in there with Jamie Dundee, right?
Nice.
I've always been a babyface, you know, the son of the promoter, fan favorite, you know, the Nashville sensation, LT Falk, you know, and then finally I did like two or three gimmicks under the hood to do some jobs for a few guys, and then finally I got to be myself and got to be a heel the very first time in Lewisburg against the one and only Jamie Dundee, man. I had to put that out there because, you know.
We've heard of that, right?
How'd that go, LT?
Oh, it was good, dude. I mean, the shit-talking, healing, easy Memphis match, man. I'm just, it's cool that I can say my first ever match as a heel was with Jamie, you know?
Yeah, dude,
you know, I could sit here and go on and on about, you know, how lucky I am, how blessed I am, fortunate enough to work some of the guys I've worked and learn from them because, man, you know, I'm not trying to name drop, but dude, I've been in there with, you know, you, Wolfie, Bill and Jamie, Jerry and BC, Ricky and Robert, you know, like, the list goes on and on of some of the Memphis greats, you know, guys that you know, paved the way for so many people that my young crazy ass had the chance to work with.
You know, what's cool too is I know that you kind of helped some guys out yourself, like Josephus and some others that you helped out. So, you know, it all goes full circle, man. Full circle, man.
Right, man.
You know, when I met Josephus real quick, I'm going to say this. Yeah. I came to Nashville in a band. That's the reason I moved to Nashville and got to meet you guys. And I was playing at the Springwater Supper Club. And I saw this guy. He was probably about my same height, 6'3", 6", something like that. And he looked at me. And he was wearing a trucker hat and he was wearing a flannel shirt. And my band just finished. And he comes up to me and he's like, hey, my name is Joe. And you guys, and this is a horrible Josephus impersonation, but you guys kind of remind me of Jesus Lizard. And I'm like, that's awesome. And he was like, yeah, it's really good stuff. And I was like, cool, man. I said, do you play? And he was like, yeah, I play music, but I'm actually starting wrestling. I'm a cameraman for the Falks. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. Because I was not only a musician, I was a massive wrestling mark. And so he's like telling me all this stuff about working for you guys as a cameraman. And then he was like, you ought to come out. And I would come out to the stadium and check out the stuff. And then I end up meeting you guys in the Great Escape when I was working there. But it's just such a small world how things work. You know, it's crazy.
Hey, let me tell you, I wanted him, you know, you talk about that trucker hat. Yeah. I was dead set. I really want, and I took him to Memphis to do it and had him on the TV there that, I guess it was Lawler that had it for a minute. I can't remember the name of the venue. LT probably does. But I wanted him to go with, you know, Josephus like Bocephus. And I wanted him to have the trucker hat and the flannel shirt and the glasses and go more along those lines of Hank and a truck driver sort of gimmick. And everybody else, I guess, and him was so dead set on the Brody thing. And I'm still not sure that my idea wasn't better, but he did what he did. You know, he did it great and all that good stuff, and he got over. But I just think that the other, that was just my thing. I was like, man, I wish you would do it this way. But everybody was dead set on the Bruiser Brody gimmick. So, but yeah, that was my thing about him. And I said, man, I wish you'd just do it this way. And he, you know, it, like I said, we got along great, you know that, but that was my one argument with him. I was like, man, I wish he'd do it this way.
then he got famous as a question mark. So who could have guessed that one, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So I'm happy for him, man. He really got it.
You know, pretty much. In a question mark outfit. Yeah. Brilliant fucking booking.
Yeah. Hey, man, it got him over. That's all that matters to me. Yeah, you know, I love that he was doing that like shaman gimmick or whatever he was doing for a minute. I thought that was cool. But anyway, Dark Side of the Ring, our boy did well, man. I'm
did.
Proud
he got
of
me on a damn man. Cool music video. And
exactly. Yeah.
All that stuff. So yeah, he was always
everything, man. The music, you know, I did the music. I did a music video with them for I think Patrick Sweeney.
Y'all, yeah, exactly.
Joe did the Lamb Chop, and then and just all the, you know, man, you know, Joe, you know, needed a, you know, ring time and exposure. He was, I guess, because I was booking him as a driver. You know, all the Mitch Ryder, Indiana towns, Evansville, and all the trips Wolfie and Joe and I made, and just hanging out. You know, he lived not too far from me, so we used to always grab a bite to eat. You know, even a time or two, he did try to take me to the gym, if anybody knows. I mean, man, God, dude, never had the body, you know. I've always been my own worst enemy, but Joe tried a time or two to get me in the gym and share knowledge with me, and just the friendship. All the Uncle so Tony, Walter, the tire irons.
You just brought up a question for me that I was actually thinking about asking you. Now, like in my career, there's obvious things that a lot of people know about me that, you know, I was my own worst enemy in certain cases. Now, do you think that, first of all, why do you think that it was such a hassle maybe or whatever for you not to get to the gym? And let's say you did go to the gym and, you know, get all gassed up or whatever, just get in really good shape. Do you think your career could have turned out differently?
Yeah, man. People ask me all the time, like, man, you know, you know quite a bit about the business. You're a good hand. You can talk the talk.
Right.
Plus, you know, your father, so many people have good things to say about him, name, connections. Why the hell did you not try to make it or do anything? Well, man, there's nobody to blame but me. I'm responsible for my own actions. You know, it was just lack of confidence. Some of the stuff I know now, if I knew then, dude, it would be a totally different ball game, you know, especially when it comes to fitness, you know, like, you know, even wrestling to the side, looking good is good, but feeling good is great. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
And we're in a new year. So, dude, I do want to get my stuff together and, it's never too late to turn a negative into a positive, you know?
Never.
I don't mean it like that. I just mean...
Yeah, but the body, it was a number of things. It was me not having the physique. I kept telling myself, oh, man, should I send anything? Should I send out some emails, send out any tapes? Man, let me just hold off until I start working out. Let me lose a little bit of weight, tighten up, build muscles, get a tan, you know, and then try to send some stuff out, you know? It was all kinds of things, you know. I could sit here and go on and on and on about missed opportunities and mistakes I've made. But man, you know, never once have I, I never try to get a job. I never try to, you know, bug anybody, dude.
Yeah. And quite honestly, I mean, you had straight connections, man. I mean, a lot of those guys, just because of the respect for your dad, they would have got you a shot, at least a tryout or whatever. So, I just always kind of wondered that. And by no means am I knocking you, because hell, there's plenty of things could be said about me and things I've done, but or didn't do, and that same shit. But anyway, Jimmy, do you got a last question for him? And because LT, this has been awesome, and time's kind of flown by. And I don't know about you, Jimmy, but I think
can I say this real fast,
man? Yeah,
of course.
Especially if there's some young guys listening to this and think. I mean, it was just lack of confidence, man. And I got spoiled. I should have started traveling and trying to branch out. I've got to go to some different states and work for some great promotions. And then there was other times where I think the money wasn't there, and I was getting spoiled because I wasn't making the best payoffs down here with Bert Prentice, Mike Porter, and my dad. But I was doing good on gimmicks, and I was trying to be a big fish in a small pond. I was spoiled. Yeah. I was young, dumb, and full of and even brother, even at the, had my first child at the age of 17 years of age, had my first daughter, and even had a temporary full custody. And I was just so much running through my mind. Like, do I want to leave my family? Do I want to relocate? It's a number of things. But the thing is, especially if there's young guys listening now, I mean, man, you just have to, go with the flow. You have to trust the process. You have to give it a chance, man. I held myself back. My Jeff Jarrett would talk to my dad from time to time, and he'll put me over, and then my dad will start saying good things about me, putting me over. Then he'll start complaining. My damn son doesn't want to go to the gym, doesn't want to do this, doesn't. And Jeff is like, Tony, sounds like the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, But trust me, you got to look the part, play the part. And you have to, at least try to get your name out there, man. And
yeah,
I was just so spoiled, man. So many things I've turned down, because the extra spots are working for a better promotion that was many, 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 many miles away. The TV exposure, publicity would have been good. But I'd rather just stay home, go 10 minutes down the road, and make this payoff that was pretty decent with gimmick sales. But, man, you have to eat it sometimes, man.
Yeah, I got you, man.
Yeah. Well, you bring in all that up, and you're talking about father and son. And Wolfie and I, we talk about this often, how we're kind of perplexed by the father-son wrestling relationships. So, obviously Jerry and Brian weren't always, sometimes it was a little awkward with them, and Jamie and Bill, how there's just an interesting, it seems like you and your dad kind of skirted that a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that it's a weird thing, father and son wrestling relationships? And it feels like to me, you guys kind of, I don't know, either we're just not naturally going to be like that competitive nature about you, or maybe because your pops was a little bit out of it, or the time you got in it. I mean, what do you think? Yeah. And how do you think you guys were able to be, you still talk, I see your pictures, go to movies and have fun all the time. Talk about, I guess, the father son relationship as far as that goes.
Yeah. Well, brother, just growing up, it was like, one of my best friends, one of my idols, I had guys like, Billy Joe Travis and, those are my favorites. But I thought the world of my dad, man. And all the trips and wanting to be like him, dude. I remember being in the car with my dad and Billy Joe Travis, and Billy would take us out with Bob's gold card. Wolfie, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bob's gold card. Wolfie would take us out, buy us lunch, and I always used to look up and say, I'm going to be a wrestler like my dad. We're going to do this. And, the Wolfie and, Wolfie and stepdad Pete, And Jamie and Bill used to always say, second generation wrestler is going to happen. So then, sure enough, by 2003, when I started, my dad, wasn't really doing much. So it wasn't, it was more promoting and helping me out some spots. I'm glad I finally got to share some spotlights with them, and those are some of my best memories. Being at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds and working for a place called Freedom Pro, you had Tony Falk's Nashville Legacy versus Vince Russo's Northern Aggression, angle. And right there at the historic Tennessee State Fairgrounds in front of a good house, my father and I winning tag team championships, together,
Being
able to team with them. And then, but we did, a time or two, we did have some father and son matches, So I mm-hmm. even got to work my dad, you know, and do little, you know, cocky, conceited punk son, you know, my dad needs to put me in my place. I've had some, but it was never no competition thing. It was never no, I go here, he goes, hell, man, one time, you know, Mike Porter, dude, he kept me busy. Mike Porter was putting a lot of investments in me. You know, some say he was probably loving that ponytail a little too much, you know?
Oh, Lord.
But, I think probably yeah. you're right, yeah.
Mike Porter, God bless him. But, brother, some of these guys were shit. If they knew what I was getting paid and plus all the gimmick sales he was trying to help me out with. And
hold on. If you're saying Mike Porter and paid, I'm absolutely shocked. So, yes.
Brother, I promise.
I believe you. I believe you.
Yes. He helped me out. And then I guess he had some hookups, you know, at some print shops. He used to give me all these damn boxes of 8x10s. I didn't pay for any of that, man. So whatever I sold it for was a profit. He, man, we had our ups and downs, but taking me to like NWA Birmingham for Linda March, me getting to work with guys like, you know, Elix Skipper and being able to share a locker room with Adrian Street and Miss Linda, you know, like nice, Porter trying nice. To help me out. He was going on and on about trying to get Mike Quackenbush to come down here with that junior heavyweight title. He was really going out trying to help me out. But yeah. then, you know, my father promoted Stadium Inn on Fridays and Saturdays. And that's when I started helping out in the locker room. Now, some guys, I think they had a thing to say about that, you know, taking direction yeah. and, you know, me calling some, but really my dad was super glued to that damn ticket table. It was just him relaying messages, you know, right. giving me finishes right. and me relaying messages.
Yeah.
But then right. down the line, I did get to become a little creative and help out with some booking. And there yeah. were so many guys like Wolfie and Kroll and, you know, Quentin Charisma.
Quentin,
you
know, yeah, yeah.
And Tim Renesto, Rich Lowe, Mike White. So many guys were there backing me and kind of helping me out. Gordon Dunaway. So you could say I was an agent. But what a learning experience that was for me, being a young kid, you know, kind of running the locker room and, you know, giving out some finishes and being the bump monkey for the training school and then, you know, sharing knowledge. I knew enough for, you know, foundation, yeah. building blocks. You got to learn how to crawl before you can walk. But like Wolfie yeah. said earlier, I have trained a few guys and helped a few guys out. You know, I'm glad to be part of their history. Yeah. But back to the Porter thing. So I was having so much fun there with my dad, booking in the back, working for him. And family comes first in my book. But Mike Porter was moving one of his Tuesday night fairground shows to like Laverne, I believe. He was doing some Saturday stuff and some tapings. And he wanted me to kind of like leave my family promotion and go, go work for him. So, man, you know, I think if I leave, you know, my dad needs me. Could that create a little heat? Could we have some problems, or wouldn't my dad want me to go somewhere different, you know, change up scenery and make some of that money I was making with NWA yeah. main event? But no, I chose to stay with my dad. And, Mike Porter, not face to face, Not in a phone call. He fired me in a damn text message, you know?
Yeah.
He let me go because I chose my dad. But, you know, you never say never in this business. You know, years later, we, you know, patched things up and I started working for him a little more. And that's where he introduced me to which I knew growing up, Christopher Love, Burt Prentice, right?
Yeah.
And because Porter down the line, that's where I got to meet and work for USA Wrestling and Burt Prentice. And he's another one that, you know, I owe a lot to, you know, booking me against the King and Rock and Roll Express versus LT and Chris Michaels at the Omen in Jackson, managed by Tony. Man, you know, these guys, there's always ups and downs. Every relationship's going to have some problems, but man, both of them are gone, man. We lost, we lost Porter and Bert Prentice. Hell, Bobby and Bert in the same day, right?
I know. So are you the reason that you couldn't work for Tony and Porter at the same time? Are you the reason? I think you might be.
Oh, no, man. Hell, man, I remember when I was a kid before I ever started working, there was some issues about, you know, that the whole putting a block on the talent. If you work for them, you work for me. I remember, like, 2001, some shit went down and Porter got mad and left and my dad was kind of by himself and, you know, had to go out there and get all the things he needed to run a show, you know, cause he was always, you know, Porter was helping him out with like, you know, the liability and the insurance and, my dad was renting the ring from Mike Porter, but when Porter got upset, you know, he left, and my dad had to, you know, get a few sponsors, a few guys helped us out, and we got everything we needed to do our own real Falcon wrestling, you know?
Yeah,
that's when Porter, you know, my dad, hell, we don't care, man. As long as you show up for us and be professional and leave the drama at home any other night, any other town, go make money, dude. But Porter was the one. And we understand the whole, you know, the principle of the, you know, the business and sometimes, but Porter was not. But years later, yeah, Mike Porter, if you worked for them, you came with them.
I know. Trust me, I heard it all the time. And you know what's so funny is you have relayed matches and ideas for what you wanted the finish to me when you actually got, when you guys hired me to work there for a little while with my crew of guys. And we were working out in Millersville at the sawmill at that time. And it was a blast. And I finally got to check the USWO off my box, you know, my bucket list. So it was, it was important.
Forgive me, Jimmy. So Stadium Inn, did you do nothing else? Did you do, you did a little something at Stadium Inn? No.
Nope, I didn't, because the timing, the way that it worked out was I went from Porter to TJ, okay. And then I kind of got out because of my shoot job, and then gotcha. I came back with USWO, and it had moved to Millersville. I'd only paid, gotcha. Which some people should say I should have stayed in the seats probably, but I'd only paid to watch wrestling at the Stadium Inn. I'd never gotcha. Worked there. I wish I had of, but... Yeah.
I guess Porter's Trinity Lane, you know, I mean, I yep, remember all those exactly. times seeing you at the Great Escape and then Trinity Lane, Porter's, and then Millersville for, you know, Saul and mm-hmm. USWO.
Yep, Jimmy, we're in that Wolfie D.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. And Jimmy, do you remember giving me a tie, a necktie?
I do, man. Yeah.
Do you remember that's why awesome. You gave me the tie?
Yeah, no? Well, you, I do remember. Hold on. You need, oh man, no, remind me, LT. I'm sorry. I know this story.
So I owe this business so much, you know, the friendships I've made, you know, and there's places I go, not to sound like I'm, cause I'm nobody, but you know, especially in my area, my town, I go places and people's like, oh, Stadium Inn, the fairgrounds, LT Falk, you know, they know me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they don't know me, the way I walk, the way I talk, the douchebag, affliction, American fighter stuff, the ponytail, they're like, man, look at RVD. Look at Shawn Michaels over there. I'm like, I'm no RVD. I'm no Shawn Michaels. My name's LT, and I am an independent pro wrestler. And then I start selling and promoting myself, you know?
Yeah.
But back to the, you know, I thought this was so cool. You know, this is one of the things that means a lot to me. There's a father and son, Chris and John Donaldson, you know, big, super supporting fans of the Middle Tennessee area. The kid is not mentally challenged, but he's physically challenged, right?
Okay, so
he's in the
yeah.
wheelchair, you know, he graduated, you know, many years ago from Hillsboro High School. Not his father, not his teacher, but me, LT Falk, his favorite wrestler. They chose me to push him down the aisle to get his diploma. So, man, I had a few dress clothes, but I didn't have no damn neckties. I couldn't find any of my ties. So you doing the manager gimmick and having that tie, I remember you gave, you know, I was like, hey, man, I could go to the store, you know, and buy me a tie, or could you lend me this one, you know?
Of course.
And that's, I would never forget it, man. It was like last minute, the night before, I couldn't find my tie. At the show in Millersville, you gave me a tie, and I, you know, I wore that tie, and dressed up, going to this kid's graduation, pushing him down the aisle to get his diploma.
And that's good.
You know, I wouldn't have been his favorite wrestler and wouldn't have had that connection if it wasn't for this business. You know what I mean? So little
yeah,
things
of course.
Like that. You know?
Dude, that's awesome. I'm so glad you told that story, man. Yeah.
And then all the other stuff, man, I could have been, should have been, missed opportunities, man. I never want to get stuck on a negative and, you know, you can't talk about the past, you know, but
right.
a lot of stuff that could have been different, you know.
Well, hey, I'll tell you,
the people I've worked with. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, man, you're saying about people recognize you, whatever. I guess it's been, I don't know, a few weeks ago around before Christmas, a little bit before Christmas. My daughter Casey texted me and she said she was at Opryland. I don't know if you were, but she said, I'm pretty sure LT Falk's in front of me right now. And I said, hand him the phone. And I forget what I said, but she wouldn't do it. But I don't know. Was you at Opryland in some kind of line or something?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, yeah, man. We went out with the family, checked out
I'm sure she knew it was you. But
I hope she's doing well, man. I hope Casey's doing well.
Yeah, she is, man. She is.
Speak and say hello.
She's doing good, man. Hey, Jimmy, I'm the booker on this show. So if we don't stop now, we're going to go way over our time and then I'm going to be pissed. No, I'm just kidding. But we do need to cut it right here because we've already got we'll put you. But LT, what about this? Why don't you work on this? Let's get you and your dad on together.
OK, yeah, something like that. Yeah,
that would be instead of a part two for you or a part two for because we've only done one with two, yeah, so that'd be a part two for both of you and we have you both on at the same time. Y'all could feed off each other. Me and Jimmy probably wouldn't have to say
anything.
I'm sorry
for being all over the place, you know, like some
no
good kind of
dude. This was great. Yeah.
No, yeah. I think me and Jimmy could just sit here and be quiet if we had both of y'all on.
We could go on people we met, guys we've worked with and just funny stories. Yeah. I didn't get to talk about any of the ribs we've pulled on people and shit that's happened to us. But hey, man, I've had a blast. I mean, you know, talking, you know, in Jimmy Street, Wolfie D, Live and In Color. Thank you guys, man. I would totally, you know, plant the seed, a father and son. Have you guys done that before?
No.
You know, shared split episode, you know?
Yeah. We only had one. We had the Headbangers on together. But not, I mean, okay.
The Wild Boys. We had the Wild Boys.
And then, but I'm talking about, like, we had Ronnie Garvin and George Weingroff together. And that was, George could kind of help Ronnie along a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But this would be the first father and son. Yeah. It would be, you know, Tony is like number five or number four, number five all time for our downloads. I mean, he's well into the thousands of downloads for that episode. So it's I'm expecting big numbers for this one. Not that that's required, but what I mean by that is I just know how much people care about you guys, and I think that would be a great show, man.
Talking about some of the people we've helped, man. I want to talk about this guy named Michael Pleasing that passed away 10 minutes after him and I had a match. Man, there's so much we could talk about. So, yes, let's try to make something happen, man.
Yeah,
everybody has a story to tell.
Listen, I know how it is, man. If you think of something one day, write it down. Shit like that, what you just said, write that shit down. Yeah. So then when we get ready to do it, you don't forget it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and I'm just saying this.
Stuff with my dad.
Yeah,
I need to start doing stuff with my dad.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I'm just saying this. Wolfie doesn't always do this, so it is definitely he means it when he says that he wants to have y'all on. So
absolutely,
Sure. This will be fun. Sure. But thank you, LT. Yeah,
you know
thank
I've always
you guys for having me, and hopefully here in the near future, father and son, you know, some real fucking stories. We'll talk your heads off. We'll make it happen.
That'd be great. That'd be great, man. And you know. Always loved your dad. He's always been good to me. Always loved you to death, man. So I appreciate it. And I know Jimmy does too. So
absolutely.
All right, buddy. All you'll be on
supporters.
Be watching.
People listening to us.
And we'll be the show come on next Monday.
Awesome. Once again, thank you guys, man. And I hope 2024 is good to both of you.
Definitely. Right, you too, brother. You too. Thank you. Thank you.
Keep in touch, man. Communication is everything. Thank you,
yes,
guys.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jimmy. I'm going to let you do your little line here. I know we're coming back with all the questions you got for me on Ask Wolfie D Anything. We'll be right back.
DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And first off, man, I figured it out. I figured out what if LT was not going to be a pro wrestler, I figured out that he should have been like a Pentecostal preacher, man. Seriously.
Well, yes, he'd have to repent his sins first. But yeah, he could definitely do that.
Oh, dude, he's he's got the rap, bro. He has got the rap, man. Wow.
That's how it is, man. They're rap.
Yeah, they really are.
Funny stuff, man. He gets on a roll, I tell you. It's funny.
Yeah.
Believe me, I knew what we were in for, and it delivered, so.
Oh, it totally delivered. I hope y'all enjoyed it as much as we did, because seriously, Wolfie and I, this might have been one of the easier episodes for Wolfie and I, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, when you got somebody that can just get it and roll with it, it makes our job a lot easier.
Yes, yes.
Instead of having exactly. to pull answers out of your mouth.
Right, right. And that's never fun. So, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, man, LT, very cool family. You know, I can't wait to have him and Tony back on together, man. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Yeah,
if we can make that happen, that'll definitely be something else. Like I said, me and you just be able to sit back and listen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was funny. You said that. That was hilarious. But, yeah, man. Well, anyway, let's get these Ask Wolfie questions out of the way here. So, the very first one, again, for the LT Falk episode, we're going to give 110% on these questions here, Wolfie. So,
and on my answers.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So the very first one is cause effect on Instagram. He says recently he was looking up a few things on the internet. He came across the tag team Gringos Locos. Mm-hmm. That was Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr. Mm-hmm. And this would have been around the similar time as PG-13. Did you ever know those guys or run into either one of them?
I think I'd met Eddie before, but I never worked him in a no. Art Barr, I ain't never been around him, man. I was thinking he was retired by the time I got in the business.
Well, I think he had died, maybe, but I'm not 100% on that. But they had a great tag team, Gringos Locos. And they, honestly, dude, a PG-13 Gringos Locos tag matches would have been incredible. They worked a lot in Mexico. And, of course, they were working as heels because they were working like they were Americans, you know. And Art, of course, is. But, man. Right. So they would come into Mexico as heels working the American gimmick. And, dude, there's some incredible stuff out there. And he was just asking, basically, did you guys ever have any run-ins with them? And was there, you know, especially when you did stuff in Mexico?
That would have been great. I mean, yeah, it would have been awesome. But, obviously, if I'd ever had the opportunity to be in the ring with Eddie Guerrero, I would have shared it by now.
Yeah, of course. We would have already talked about that. Yeah. But anyway, I just think that's a cool idea. We definitely appreciate the idea. And maybe in the future, in another universe, we'll see that happen. So, yeah. But all right. Well, thank you. The next question is Bob Daniels and from Facebook. Old Bob. We haven't heard from Bob in a while. He says, any good / funny PG-13 or New Church shoot moments.
Shoot moments. Well, I think we've talked about all the PG shoot moments that we can talk about.
Right.
And as far as me and Brian or me and any of my other partners, that was all TNA. So there wasn't no real shooting going on out there as far as anybody getting mad. And, you know, you don't do that on TV.
Right. Right.
At least. A lot of stiff shots out there. Definitely a lot of stiff shots out there in the New Church days of me and Brian, me and Sin and all that. And the only, you know, real thing that was, I guess, going to be a shoot could have been the whole Raven deal when he got mad about Jim shaving his head. And kind of go right then. But yeah, right. I think we talked about that one too. But no, I can't think of any. Man, because obviously TNA was in Nashville, so I didn't travel. So I don't know road stories from TNA, really. I mean, other than the time they ran Huntsville and a few other shows. But, yeah, and again, I think all the Jamie PG stuff has been talked about. There is to talk about, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've pretty well covered the PG-13 shoot. I was just curious, like, so with the New Church and stuff, was there ever anything like, okay, let's just to give an example. Y'all worked low key a few times, right? How was working that guy? Because I feel like that guy, you know, was pretty stiff on stuff.
He was a great worker. I enjoyed working with him. I did. There's one of those matches on YouTube where I kick him in the mouth. You can see his mouth bleeding, and it wasn't anything other than me just kicking like he kicks. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
You know, I've always been like that. If you're gonna give it to me, I'm giving it back. So, you know, and no hard feelings. I ain't mad at you for kicking me, but just don't be mad when I kick you back.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't, you know, nobody was pissed or anything. It's just, okay, that's how it works, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to set that pace, right, then I'll meet. Yeah, yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
Like I said, I told you that the Harris brothers, we just talked about earlier, I can't remember. I think it was Don come up to me. He's like, man, I love working with you. Like I said, I think I've told this before, but he's like, man, because all these other dudes that are, you know, everybody's smaller than us and they're all afraid to hit us. He said, you're not afraid to hit us, man. He said, and that's why I was like, you know, hey, I've always been, you know, taught and trained, you know, you get what you give, man.
Yeah. I mean, that seems fair, right? You know, take, 100%. You know. I mean, if you're, like you said, if somebody's going to come in and start the pace like that, then you know, hey, well, I can meet that pace. Yeah. And if they get upset, well, then I'm just giving it back to them. It's not, you know,
that's so. No hard feelings. It ain't ballet.
It ain't ballet. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's good. I've always been curious, though. If did you ever see Low-Key get any heat with anybody in the back as far as some of the stiffness that he worked with people? So,
all the guys he was working with are, you know, same way.
Kind of
most professional. Now I say that with emphasis, professional wrestlers, they understand that, you know?
Yeah. They know the score. Yeah.
Now I think a lot of today's guys have taken that way too far and they're not being safe with each other. They're being reckless and there's a big difference in all that.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
Right.
They don't sell it for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, our third and final question of the day comes from a listener on YouTube. Actually, we know this guy. His name is Chris Baum as a wrestler. He's at Chris Fenton 537 on YouTube. He asked this question. He says, what was Wolfie's reaction to the PG-13 impersonators he encountered at the Stadium Inn when he was teaming with Ty Blade? Do you know what he's talking about there?
Oh, man, I've seen a number of people that would imitate us. And there was actually, I think, Tommy Higgy's son did one called Homie D down in Columbia and all that stuff. And I had no problem with it, man. You know, I mean, what is that thing? Imitation is the greatest form of flattery or whatever.
Sincerest form of flattery.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know that jokingly, it is not John Cena's fault. He did not come up with the gimmick. They put it on him. So it's not personal.
Right.
But, you know, so if people want to, people get imitated all the time. And I guess that is a compliment that anybody would think, dang, I want to look like that. I want to be that cool.
Yeah, of course.
I guess that's the thing, you know. But I can't remember exactly 100% who he's talking about. But I know a bunch of them dudes wore shorts and stuff like that. But I'm not sure as far as like a direct one, except for Homie D. And I think I went down there and even tagged with him before. So,
okay. That's funny. So I think he's made probably, because I know he tagged with TJ Weatherby.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost assuming, and again, I don't know the full story, and he only said this, was I assume that maybe it was them that dressed up like PG-13.
Could have been. And I can't remember, man. And I apologize. You know me, I can't remember a lot of stuff, but I don't know that I was, if I was mad, please tell me and my bad.
Right. I mean, I don't think he would bring it up, you know, if you were hot. But I mean, it's just, you know, everybody knows who's ever heard of TJ Weatherby. They know how I feel about TJ Weatherby. He did a lot for me in my time in the business, and actually one of the first major guys to pay me to do my stupid shit out there. So, you know, that was impressive enough that anybody would pay for that. So, but you know, when you come from Mike Porter, and I'm not going to go off on this because the funny story that LT talked about Mike Porter and stuff, when you come from that, you start to assume that maybe you're not worth to pay. Does that make sense? Like you start to get that feeling in your head that you're like, okay, I'm with this crew and this crew, you know, he doesn't pay anybody. And, you know, and I know he paid some people because Brian Lee showed up one night and worked with Lee Condrey there. And I guarantee that Brian Lee didn't do it for free. So
Lee paid him too. Be honest with you.
Could have. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, LT just told us that Mike Porter was definitely paying him. So,
right.
Right, exactly. It sounded like he was, you know, hoping for something out of that, but we won't. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I'm just saying, you know, something was going on there that, you know, maybe LT was working a little bit, but we'll see.
Who knows?
Yeah. But anyway, so if you saw a PG-13, even if they were, you know, doing it as a mock, obviously you understood it to be somewhat of a flattering situation because, you know. Yeah.
It, maybe at first it might have made us mad or something like that, but not by that time, you know.
Right, right.
I remember, and I just worked for the guy when I did that signing in, what was that town up there by Louisville?
In Brandenburg.
Yeah, when I did that show, he was one of the promoters on there. His name was Rated X back in the day. And he was kind of a PG-13 gimmick. And he ran the show, and I believe I went up there and even put him over.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, we know Chris Kern was Lucky 13. Put a clown gimmick to the PG-13 gimmick. So, I mean, Midget D, of course, the OG, you know. So.
Oh, and then Just Incredible was in Memphis as PG-187. He was our kind of third member for a split second.
Okay, yeah. So there you go, PG-187. That's a pretty good name. I like that. Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, yeah, that's the questions all I got for today. So
all you got. Well, hopefully the listeners will start sending in some new ones. It looks like we're getting a lot of new listeners, which is very encouraging to keep trudging forward, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate y'all listening, especially all the OGs that have been listening for a long time. We really appreciate that.
Yes, definitely. And if you haven't heard some of the old ones and you just heard this one today, go back and listen to the old ones. There's some great ones there, man.
Sure. And it looks like next week we might have a real good one that we kind of been working on for a while, and should be a good one if we can pull this one off for next week. So
I'm excited.
I'm not gonna say any more than that, but tune in.
Yeah.
And we're going to catch you on the flip-flop, folks.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact
contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
For your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. From Rush, your mother. Utilize a hubcap unlike any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from over on board later. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome. You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.